This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Did you ever wonder if Jesus had bad days? Oh, we all have them, so surely he must have as well. But what made days good and bad for him? Please stay with us as we talk about this subject in today's message entitled, A Happy Day.
What would it have been like to walk daily with Jesus as the disciples did? There were moments of sadness, but there were moments of joy too. We're going to talk about that in a sermon this Sunday. Our theme is A Happy Day. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have the privilege of walking with you in your word through the day. And certainly there we see hours of sadness, but hours of joy. Grant, O God, that we may be so filled with your spirit that we may appreciate all these good times as well as the difficult times with you, our Savior. In his name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, what would it be like to walk daily with Jesus as the disciples did? There would be some sad days, those days when people rejected Jesus' message telling them who he was and why he had come to earth. For example, as he approached Jerusalem, we read in Luke 19:41. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, O Jerusalem, if you had known on this day, what would have brought you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. It was a sad day as he saw those people, many of them, who had the opportunity to hear the gospel and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Some of them did, but many of them didn't. And when he saw the many who were lost, he was sad. One day he was walking with his disciples out to the Mount of Olives. He had just recently instituted the Lord's Supper. And here we read in the 22nd chapter of Luke, walking with his disciples, after he had instituted the Lord's Supper, he cried out and he said, I weep over you. There again is that same sadness, not to accept the gospel. One day he was in Bethany, and he had learned shortly before that his good friend Lazarus had died. So he went out to the graveyard, and he looked into Lazarus' tomb. The people were around there, some of them watching Jesus very carefully, but also some were there mourning the departure from that person who had done so much for them in Bethany. And when Jesus saw the weeping of those who had lost a good friend, then it was that it says he wept. John 11:35, he wept. But there were happy days too, and that's what I want to center your thoughts around today. And we turn to the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 17th verse, and we read as follows. The 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, if the demons, even the demons, submit to us in your name. That tells us that Jesus had sent some of his disciples, if not all of them, out on an evangelism tour, and they shared with them the gospel, and the people believed, and they were so happy, and they reported back to Jesus, and they said, you know, Lord, it was a tremendous experience. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That perhaps best understood is there the power of the word was over the power of Satan. I, Jesus, have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, see, it was a day of joy. Oh my, he was so happy to be with his disciples as they were getting a response to the message that he had sent them with. I pray you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus said, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. See, he is saying that I now have a church that understands who I am and why I have come. And the masses of people around them, the educated, the wealthy, and all the rest, do not know, but they know. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And this is what he had revealed. The people were sinful, but Christ had come, and through his vicarious suffering and death at the cross of Calvary, he took the sins of the world upon him and bestowed unto those who would receive him by the power of the Holy Spirit that great power of knowing that their sins were forgiven and that they should rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Then he turned again to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Oh, if the world only knew what you know, they would be so much happier, and it would be such a much better place to live. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And I wonder sometimes about our nation's leaders and our state leaders, if they do not go home at night and say, what is the answer to all of this? Where do we go for help? It is that kind of a people that Jesus said there are many who would like to know what you know, but they don't. They have heard it with their ears. They perhaps belong to a church. They've been raised in a church, but many of them have not received Christ into their lives. And so they have no other place to go but to the wisdom of the human being. Jesus says, it's a happy day. It's a happy day when you have the power to know that outside of your own wisdom, there is one that is much stronger and wiser than we. And he is the one who carries the answers. How happy he must have been when he stood there at Lazarus' tomb and the people were crying. And he could say to them, I know you cry and I cry with you. But just remember this. Lazarus knew me as his Savior. Lazarus is at home with God. There are happy days for Jesus and his disciples, whether they be the disciples who walk to him in his physical presence or whether it is you and me who walk with him in his word. But let's take some of these today and go back and see if it really is working. Many years ago, when I was thoroughly convinced that we had to get serious about evangelism, together with some help from officials of our church, theologians and so forth, we put together a small evangelism program. Then we selected a few people who knew the Lord Jesus personally, and we put them into a group. We had classes for them, and then we sent them out. Every Tuesday night they went, a dozen couples, husbands and wives or others who just teamed up with one another, and they visited in the homes of the people. The people were happy to see them. They said, we wondered how long it would be before someone would come and talk to us about Christ, not about the church. Oh, that might have been peripheral and all the good things that went along with it and probably sometimes of some of the bad things. But we came with the gospel. Many of them who were good members of our congregation said, we don't have that real understanding of the gospel. Talk to us about it. And so they went back and back and back. And we had special classes for those who were anxious to know more. And there was great joy in this, that some of them had learned. The greatest peace that we have in this life is to know that when it is all over, then our names are written in the book of life. That's what we call the assurance of salvation. It's a happy moment when Jesus sees us and walks with us, and he knows that we know when the last breath is drawn, then we shall be with Jesus Christ forever in heaven. Oh, the more you apply this to your church, the more you realize how wonderful it is. There have been some sad times when we had to close the church. Many of our areas here in the Midwest, the population is diminishing and they're moving to the cities. And so some of those churches that were such important places for the people to go had to close because financially they could not keep their church running. So what did they do? we had a service trying to do this in as dignified a way as we could, and then we turned the people over to other churches in the area. A man took me out and said, "I want to show you with your own eyes what is happening." He took me to a place where I looked over a section of land. And that didn't mean a whole lot to me coming from the East. We didn't deal with land in that way. He said, "This 160 acres is a farm. There are three other 160 acres. And that together makes up a section. Once there could be four families on that piece of land, and they belonged to the church, and they had their children, and it was thriving. But then with all the new inventions and farming getting so much more mechanized, one farmer could farm all of that 640 acres. And so now there was one family for the church, one group of children for the Sunday school. And they said, "We can't anymore." It was closing. That was a sad day to walk with Jesus, because you could feel for these people what that church had really meant to them. It was there that they had their children baptized. It was there that they were married and they were buried. It was there that on a Sunday morning they heard the gospel and went home delighted to know that we are a child of the King. Now, not in that setting. And they understood it, and in most cases were very willing to go along. Then they entered into their new church with a larger number of people. And it was the same way. Happy days with Jesus in that new congregation to which they had gone, but also the times when there were some sad ones too. Evangelism. What a happy day it is when we can get out there and tell the story of Jesus Christ to the people round about them, and they would rejoice to know that Christ was their Lord and Savior. I remember the people coming back from making evangelism calls and in the early days of my pastorate, and they would tell how they just sat there so interestingly and listened carefully to the gospel. "Thank you. Will you come again?" And we came back and gave the reports of these. We told it to the pastor. This is what they did. They were so receptive to what we had to offer to them. They're going to be wonderful people of our church, but they're going to live in heaven. Their homes, their names are written there. But there were some times that it was different. And so some of the teams went home a little bit sad to think that once again in their very presence they had heard a person say, "Well, we don't want that much of the church. We want to belong and we want to come whenever it's possible. But we want to have our freedom too." Happy days and sad days around the church. I always thought that the days that we had baptism were really, really happy days. And I imagine for our friends who do not believe in infant baptism, but have some kind of a dedication, they have that same happiness. When you bring the child, and I'm going to use baptism now, to that baptismal font, you look into his face, and you hear the pastor say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." And they knew that according to the Word of God, as we understand it, the Holy Spirit had planted the seed, and there was happiness. They took the little child home. Peter is baptized. Mary is a child of the King. There are mysteries around this. I don't understand them. But this is as our church understands baptism, and it is a happy day. But then they are also told that since you have presented this child for holy baptism, you are charged to diligently teach him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and to bring them to the services of God's house and provide for their instruction in the Christian home, that as they have been brought into the kingdom, now they are to grow in it. And they were to see that day when their child would give every indication that Jesus Christ was theirs personally. They had had that spiritual awakening. Some of them went to a Bible camp and came back and said, I know what it's all about. It all had come to them. Others of them had it just in their own bedrooms, where they had their daily devotion because mother and dad told them that was the thing to do. And Christ came to them. Sometimes it came to them right out with their friends in the best conversation. That somebody, probably from another church, rang a bell, and Jesus used them to tell them that he was their Savior and Lord. Mom and Dad, we have found it tonight. These were happy days when we walked through life with Jesus and his Word and those round about us. Were there sad times? Yes, there were. There were those who would go through the catechetical instruction and be confirmed, and they would leave and would seldom come back to church. It was sad. But it was also glad, a glad experience, when some of them began to say, our lives are so empty. And then mother or dad would say, why don't you try reading your Bible? Why don't you come back to church? If you think you can find a better church where you hear it clear, go ahead and go. But let the power of the Holy Spirit speak through you. Oh, what a gay day that was when they came and said, yes, now we understand. What a wonderful time it is when, as Jesus said in our text today, there are many in this world who wish that they knew what you did. But you know you have been with God. And he has made it clear to you that he is not just a story that is found in the scriptures, but this God is your Savior and your Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit, those are the happy days that we have with Jesus. It is not our word that does it, but it is a word of God. And we share these happy days with our friends, that we have something meaningful to talk about. That shows the importance of the church, that we need to be a group of people who come together on a regular basis and share the word of God. Somebody of greater intelligence than mine has left us something that I leave you with today in this sermon. D-Day has been accomplished when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished. And that is a happy day. And sooner or later, V-Day will come when he takes us home to be with him in heaven. Amen.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this growing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day. when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill this house, while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. When Jesus washed my sins away, my sins away.
Father in heaven, we pray that our leaders, both in church and state, may have an understanding of what it is to walk through life with Jesus. There will be sad times, for Jesus saw that and wept over Jerusalem and other places. But there will be happy times too. And so, Father, we give you our thanks that we can have that presence with you, knowing that we walk not alone, but that we truly walk with you. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by its listening audience. If you have benefited from the message today and are in a financial position to do so, we pray you will feel led to help support this ministry with your prayers and a financial gift. All gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you enjoy hearing today's message and would like to hear it again, then we invite you to visit our website for both written and audio copies of the program. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of this program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please send your letters of request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or you may call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker, Reverend Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.